Zayin Hayomid Aleph, the Gemara quoted at the Sefta that spoke about Atzot Chalos and the Hapotso, that when he does the Seder, he's in violation of that Malacha, and when he does the Psiya, it's a Machlekes, whether he's in violation of Dishon. That's the whole discussion. So the Gemara asked Akasha on the Sefta, why doesn't it deal with the issue of Ntilas Neshama? If he's going to keep on squeezing the Tcheles out of this Chalosin, isn't he going to kill it? So the Gemara gives a few suggestions. One Teretz says it died already. Shepotza Meis, he's squeezing it out while it's dead. So Teretz says the Kasha knew. So if he caught the Chalosin in the sea, in the Mediterranean Sea, and he took it on the dry land till it died, so that itself isn't Tzivus and Shama. So Teretz suggested the Teretz Kimishim Darka Lefarke, so the Karim Misosai, that you put it. That's what we spoke about. That's a Gemara in Gittim when you get to Golus. The Gemara only says it when you get to Golus. And Tosis writes there in Gittin and in Makis, and that's Mashman the Rambam also, that it's only a din in Golus that doesn't apply to Horik B'mezin. Only a special din in Golus. And our Tosis L'chara is picking up that Gemara. They're using that concept and they're establishing as if Kilu and Kol HaTerakula, that's not called Harigah, that's not called Ritzicha of a human being. That's not called shochet. It's not called killing an animal. Even though, let's say, by kinyan mishicha, by kinyan hagbo, korei lo behibo, constitutes a kinyan. So you see that the korei chacham yoraboy of the reflex reaction of the animal itself is mitztarif back to me. So why not say the same over here? I pulled out the chalozan from the sea, and it starts jumping around until it dies. So I should say that whole jumping around relates to me. It's considered like I did it. So the Gemara in Taisis L'chor is understanding that Gemara in Gittin, that's true in Kol HaTerakula, except for Hariga. You can't call me the Horeg, the Shoche, the Retzeach, if it was Mekarv, it's only okay. So the Gemara gave one answer, Shepotza Meis. Then the Gemara gives another answer, Shepotza Chai, but Mesasa creates in the Tilsim Shom. He's not really interested in killing it. So what's it's a dov sheni miskavim. So the Gemara says, what kind of dov sheni miskavim? But it's a chapsik reisha. Abai v'Rav both said, Moedir Rav Shimon, that dov sheni miskavim is also one of the chapsik reisha. The Gemara says, here it's detrimental to his interest. What does it mean? So Pasha B'Shad means that it's a chapsik reisha, lo nichalai. That's how the Rishani called it. The Yoruch got his shita from this Gemara, and from a Gemara in Sukkah, from a whole series of Gemaras, the Yoruch learns Pshad, that psikreshon lo nichalei is muta. Taisus doesn't agree with the Yoruch. Taisus, later on, and Taisus in Ksubis and a few other places, Taisus, they always quote this Yoruch, and they don't agree. The Taisus is Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the long Taisus, and it appears in other places as well. So Taisus disagrees with the Yoruch. They hold that psikreshon lo nichalei is no grounds to be matir. Our Gemara never said that it's muter. Psikreshon lo nichalei is muter. They said that the Tosefta is listing off how many chatoas yichayim. So you can't say yichayim chatoas, it can't be an isa deraisa. It will be an isa though, but it can't be an isa deraisa. Why psikreshul anichale is not an isa deraisa? Because it's a melocha shein tzvicha legufa. Every psikreshul anichale will be a melocha shein tzvicha legufa. And according to Reb Shimon, Lochashen Svicha Lagufa is Mutam and Atar and the whole Isra is only with the Rabban. So what is this machloikis? Whether Psikresha La Nichala is Mutam or Rasa? So Rabbi Chana Wasserman has a famous explanation. He says when the Gemara said that Moide Rab Shimon be Psikresha Velo Yomus, that it's also one can give two different explanations. You can give two different reasons. Why should Rab Shimon be Moide by Psikresha? The Dovashen Miskabin is awesome. So one explanation you can say is, how do you draw such a thin line between the two pulas? I say, I'm doing one activity, I'm cutting off the head of the chicken because my child wants to have a toy to play with, and the toy is going to be the head of the chicken. So if the chicken is dead and I cut off the head, so then that's not a problem. I'm cutting off the head. It happens that the chicken is alive, so at the same time that I'm cutting off the head, I'm also causing the chicken to get killed. Psik reishei v'lo yomus. So that's what Abai Barovas say. How can you draw such a thin line and say he's interested in Pula A and he's not interested in Pula B? So that's the Dovashen is coming. What do you mean Pula A, Pula B? Two different Pulas. It's one and the same Pula. It's impossible to cut off the head of a live chicken without killing the chicken. So by definition, cutting off the head is the same mice as killing the chicken. It's chat pula. You don't have two pulas. That's one way to understand the pshat. If you say like that, then the orach doesn't make any sense. Why should it be the psikresha lam yichale should be muta? The maximum you can say is like Tesis says, melacha shen tzvicha legufa, so it'll be muta menatar and asa medraban. So apparently, l'chore, the orach understood pshat and the gemara and the klal of the gemara differently. By the Reb Shimon Sekresha, different story. No, the Yoylem, the two separate pulas. Well, Haraya, the two separate pulas, that if the chicken would have been dead, you're cutting off the head, then you're not killing the chicken. So since sometimes it's possible to do A without B, it's certainly possible to do B without A. You can kill the chicken without cutting off the head. You shoot it. You can cut off the head without killing it. Kagon, if the chicken is dead already. So since it's possible to do A without B and B without A, that's an indication that the two different activities. That really, it should have been every case of segregation should have really been a dovashen and miskaven is interested in pula A, and pula B happens by itself. So now, Baiva Rabba say no. How can you say that he's ain't a miskaven? What if he does pula A? He's moving furniture and he knows that there is a possibility that it may make a haritz in the ground, and he's interested in making haritz also. His main interest is in moving the furniture. And he also is interested, a secondary interest is that he wants to make haritz. He does know whether it will succeed. And if it makes a haritz, so be it. So he's happy that it's going to make a haritz. So that's not called a dovah shein miskaven. That's a dovah hamiskaven. Even though his main interest is pula A, and pula B is only a secondary interest, still that's a dovah hamiskaven. So here also, if he knows that he's cutting off the head of the chicken, the hechreach, is going to die. So how can you say that he's only miskaven for A, he's not miskaven for B? The kavanah that he has for A behechreach is kalam B also. You're right that the two different pulas, but the kavanah on A is kalam pula B also, because he knows that behechreach it has to happen. So if that's the pshat, then it makes more sense to shaykh to understand the orach a little better. That the orach holds b'med v'mamurim. When do you say that whenever you have a psikresha, the kavanah on pula A is considered as if he had kavanah on pula B? That's only if it's a psikresha de nichale, but if it's a psikresha de loy nichale, based on the nature of the case, it's irrelevant. It's lo malav lo mard whether B will occur or not. So how can you say that the kavona on A is chal on B? Also, but we know that it's lo malav lo mard. Kagon David bar de chavre. It's not his business, not his geshäft. What does he care? Over here, it's even detrimental. But it doesn't have to be detrimental. The orach doesn't only develop this head to psikresha lo nichale when it's detrimental to him, even if it's leich, this leich is also called psikresha l'anicholei. That's Rabbi Chana's suggestion. Maybe this is the point of debate that the Rishonim have, whether psikresha l'anicholei is mutar or ras. And this machlekes of psikresha l'anicholei, so the Rosh and Masech HaShav, such a big mesichta, the 24 prokim, so the Rosh quotes the topic twice. In one place he quotes it the normal way, the regular way, that the Orach says the psikresha l'nichale is mutter and kol ha'ter kula, and in one place the Rosh quotes it not the way it's usually quoted by Tosfos, that there's a compromise sheet here. He quotes from the Orach that the Orach was only matter psikresha l'nichale in Hilchas Shabbos, and kol ha'ter kula he would not be matter psikresha l'nichale. What's the svar l'chalek? So it must be based, it can't be based on svaris and dovash einim eskaven. Dovash einim eskaven is the same by Shabbos and kol ha'ter kula. Why should you distinguish? So the pashtus, you have to say that it's based on, has to be based on malachas machshavas or something like that. But what exactly malachas machshavas? What does that mean? So one version of this compromise appears in the Tosfos Yishonim that's printed on the side of the daf in the beginning of Ksubis on daf Hey. So they quote from the Chuvas Rebellion Mizrahi, I think, and then it says in the Shidim Kubetz, it's also like that. The Rishonim have such an explanation. That every case of psikresha l'nichale is always going to be amlocha shen tzricha l'gufa. Amlocha shen tzricha l'gufa is mutam in HaTorah and asam in the Rabbanah. So that's what the Orach is coming on. He holds in kol HaTorah kula psikresha, even psikresha l'nichale is awesome because of chveis, chat pula, whatever the hasbir that you'll give. But on Shabbos, every psikresha l'nichale is going to be amlocha shen tzricha l'gufa. So Tosfos says that is correct. So it'll be pater. Amlocha shen tzricha l'gufa is pater rabbal asam. So here the Orach developed a notion within Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. When do you say that ain't Tzvicha? Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is part of Rabba Lassa, Tzatzun Rabbanon. That's only if he's interested in doing that for Ula. Outright interested. like we had the Gemara Choyf Agumo Vein and Tzarech El Lafor. So Tosis gave that as a mashal. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara in Gimel and Beis. That's a mashal of Malach Hashem Tzvich Lagum. We have to do that long Tosis on Tzarek Dalet. Look at this one. So when you have, when a person does a pula, let's say the fellow is working on a farm and is plucking off the fruits from the tree and he's harvesting the tzvua and he doesn't plan to eat anything. Doesn't plan that anybody should eat it. So what is he doing it for? Just for practice. He plans to go, he's on Hachshara and he's going to go work on a kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael. Just practicing. So he's not using the peris that he pulls off from the tree. So that's the case of segregation. That's the case of Malach Hashem Tzvich Gufa. It's a Dovah HaMeskaben, he knows what he's doing. He wants to do the Malacha, but he's not intending for the same purpose that this Malacha was done in the Mishkan. So that's Muta Menatera and Asa Midirabonon. Hakadei Asad Midirabonon. Let's take according to Rashi, because it's a lack of Malachas Malshevis. And according to Taisa, it has nothing to do with Malachas Malshevis, because it has to be Dumi the Mishkan. Okay. Not really Malachas Malshevis, Dumi the Mishkan. So the. So let's say according to Rashi it's going to work out better. According to Rashi it's a lack of Malachas Malshevis. So why did they ask him in the Rabbanan? So the answer is, but Sof, you are interested in doing this. True, it's not a full-fledged Malachas Malshevis, because you're not doing it for the same purpose it was done in the Mishkan, but in the Rabbanan they ask it because in the Rabbanan we do consider it a Malachas Malshevis. Since you're interested in plucking off the pears, so you are interested in being Chayfa Guma. You're not interested in the whole of the Guma. You're only interested in the offer. So that's Minatar, that's a lack of Melachas Malshevis. But in the Rabbanan, we still declare it as Melachas Malshevis. So we can still ask him at the Rabbanan. But if he's not even interested in doing that Pu'ula, he's doing a different Pu'ula. Like over here. He's really squeezing out the dye. He's Kotzeh the Chalazon, which this Tana holds is not a Melachas Minatar. So he's doing a pula hamuteris, even though it results in another bevadai, in another pula hasura, but he's not really interested in that pula hasura. So that pula hasura is anyway going to be a melacha shen tzvicha legufa, which is mutam anatera. So to ask him melacha shen tzvicha legufa mid rabbanon, you can't ask him mid rabbanon. You can't declare anything as a melacha unless you have melachas malshevis. In the Torah we have a higher standard from Melachas Malshevis. In the Rabbanon we have a lower standard. Let's say Mekalkel. So the Mishnah says later, call him Mekalkel and Pturim. Mishnah and Kuv Beis and Beis. In the Torah call him Mekalkel, Kaseh Klal, call him Mekalkel and Pturim. And Shmuel says on Dav Gimel, whatever it says, Pater in the Mishnah, it means Pater Avalosa. So how can it be awesome in the Rabbanon? If Mekalkel is Pater in the Torah, because of lack of Melachas Malshevis, that's the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud, that Tosfos quotes. Then the kalkalim apturim on Shabbos because it's a lack of malach malshevis as for Torah. And it doesn't even say it by Shabbos, it says it by the Mishkan. The Gemara says that's the pshat in the Mishnah, that it's tricky. That the dinim and hilchos Shabbos don't even say by Shabbos, it's derived from a different source. So the din is min haTorah, it's only called malachas malshevis if it's a higher level of nesakim. If it's mekalkel, so it's mutam and atur. But the Rabbanan, they said, as long as it's a little bit of misakein, you're also chay. So every case of mekalkel, but you're interested in having it. So it's like achshavei, since you personally are interested in doing this ma'aseh, so the Rabbanan we declare it as misakein. It accomplishes something, otherwise he wouldn't have done. So the Rabbanan is called melachas malshevis. So every case of ein tzvicha legufa, let's say using Rashi's language is easier, every case of a malachas shein tzvicha legufa is a lack of malachas malshevis. But sof kol sof, I want to do it. I am digging the guma for some reason or another. So the Rabbanan we declare it as a malachas malshevis, so we ask him the Rabbanan. But if I'm not even interested in doing that pula, I'm really interested in doing a different pula. And this is a psik reishei, and it's a psik reishei lo nichalaisa shein tzvicha legufa. So how can you say even with the Rabbanan that achshavei? But Rabbanan, we consider it as a Malachas Malshevis because sof kol sof, he wants to do it, so that's called Malachas Malshevis. No, but he's not even interested in doing that. That does get, that Pu'ula B just gets schlepped along with the Pu'ula A. He's only interested in doing Pu'ula A. So that's along these lines. That's how you have to explain that compromise sheet that the Rosh presented in one place in Masechus Shabbos, and that appears in the on the margin of the Tosfos in the first Perek in Ksubos. They quote such a version that the Orach made a compromise between Sikresha de lo nichalei by Hilcha Shabbos and in Kol HaTorah Kulo. In Shulchan Aruch they recommend you should avoid getting involved in this heter. It's a difficult heter, the Orach Kula. The Orach with the compromise Kula, even Hilcha Shabbos, questionable. The main sheet of Shitas HaTosfos is that Sikresha de lo nichalei is Asim Rabbah.
Even by
Shabbos, the Gemara says Machat Shal Yad is mutter to use. The Gemara is I'm going to have Haytoas Adam. So what does the Gemara answer? That's not a psikreish. It's a davish enim miskav. If it would have been a psikreish, then it would have been also. That's how it says in the Gemara. The reason why machat shal yad is mutter, but it's going to cause bleeding. But it is mutter to use a machat shal yad to delete the basa coats. So what's with the bleeding? So he says it's not a psikreish. That's why it's mutter. Maybe it's not a psikreish. If it would have been. So melach shem tzvich leguf, it does make it that it should be mutter. No. I mean, they were matter because of Mamakam Tzairah. So you ask your kasha, why do you have to come on to Mamakam Tzairah? Because of Rabbanon. Then you're asking on kasha, why does the Gemara have to say Mamakam Tzairah? Because of Rabbanon. But the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara says Mamakam Tzairah goes of Rabbanon by Machat Shal Yad. Is that one of the three? Machat Mursa, yeah. So Machat Shal Yad, the Gemara is just a Stamuta. Stamuta without that head. Why is it Mutter? Because probably a Dov Shani Miskaman. It's not about doors that the Dam is going to come. Sometimes dam will flow, sometimes dam will not flow. Probably a davshein in this cup. Then we just mentioned there is a literature in the Mishlam Melech, and later the Mishlam Melech started a whole discussion on a Gemara in Menachos. In the second Perek of Menachos, the Gemara talks about the dinam of Malicha. The Ika dinam Malicha by Kabbalas really says by Al Kol Minchos Chatakrid Melech. Then there's another passage that says, "I'll call carbon chatakrid melech," and the salting of the carbon is really has nothing to do with removing the dam. Alti pashtas. It's unrelated to removing the dam. It's a din. You have to put salt on the carbonus. The Minchas Chinuch raised an issue. Shouldn't you have to salt all flesh that you burn on the mizbeach? Let's say you're going to burn the yemurim on the mizbeach, or you're going to burn carbon oil. The whole thing is kula kol. You burn the whole thing. So the Minchas Chinuch raises an issue. There is a din, Mimashki saw min amuta li Yisrael. So you're not allowed to be makar on the mizbech. Any macholas asuris. The Gemara says if you have wine, which is orla tloya kerem, so not only is it also banor le Yisrael, the head yod, it's also to pour that wine on the mizbech. Why? Because the pasuk, the Novi Yecheskel says, and Sefer Yecheskel, that the wine that they poured on the mizbech had to be Mimashki Yisrael. What does that mean? Israeli wine. What do you mean Israeli wine? What's wrong with American wine? No, Mashgam is Menamuta Leisrael, that a Jew can drink the wine. It's Mutta Bishtiya. If it's also Bishtiya, so you're not allowed to be Makrabit. So the Minchas Chinuch raises an issue. How can you be Makter Emurim, or how can you be Makter Evorim of a Korban Oilah if it's full of Dam, and the Dam is also Bachila? So isn't that a violation of Mashgis? So he raises a possibility, but he says himself he thinks it's utterly ridiculous. He never heard of such a thing. Of course, the pashta says that it's not correct, like the Minchas Chinuch himself admits that it's not correct. Maybe whenever you makter a murim or a evarim on the mizbech, you have to salt it and remove all of the dam first in order to avoid violation of a mashki yisrael. Why is it wrong? The pashta says, he himself explains why it's wrong. How can you say mashki yisrael on dam? You always erect the dam on the mizbech. The halacha of a mashki yisrael goes if something is treif, orlok, le'akerem, chveis, basa v'cholav, treifo. That's a violation of Mashki Yisrael. That's Mo'us. If a Jew is not allowed to eat it, so it's Mo'us Lagavoy. Rabbi Hashem doesn't want to eat it. But Chelev Adam, Arashatas, because it's Miyuchot for Gavoya. It says, Chelev Adam is Miyuchot to be Makhtar around the Mizbech. So how can you turn around and say that there's a question of Mashki Yisrael? The whole prohibition of Yisrael is because it's Miyuchot Lagavoya. So the Minchas Chinuch knows that. So he says, yeah, that's only on the Dam that's a mitzvah to be Zorek on the Mizbech. But the dam, that's the dam Ivarim, the dam in the capillaries that's in the flesh that you mark there on them, yeah, that should be an issue of Mashkizam and Amutariso. Yeah, he says himself it's not true. The Pashtus is certainly not correct. Anyway, why did he, what prompted him to raise this possibility that salting the meat in the Karbonis is for the purpose of removing the dam? Salting the Menachos is not for the purpose of removing the dam. There is no dam in the Menachos. So salting the Karbonis is also not. And the Rambam's opinion is that salting Menachos is more chomer than salting the meat on the Mizbeach. The Rambam holds that loy molach by mincha is possible, loy molach by other Karbonis is kosher. That the Melicha is ma'akev by mincha. By other Karbonis it's not ma'akev, and by mincha it is ma'akev. So the Pashta certainly is that the Melicha has nothing to do with removing the dam. So the Gemara in the second Perek of Menachos comments on the Pasuk called Kol Minchoscha Bamelach Timloch. That's Sajbis Melach Bisa Lekech Mial Minchosech Al Kol Karbon Chatakri Melach. So the Gemara comments on the Kefil Aloshan and says Bamelach Timloch. Why does it have to say Bamelach Timloch? To say Kol Karbon Chatimloch. Why Bamelach Timloch Kefil Aloshan? The Gemara says to be marbe that afila b'shabbes. The Gemara has a list of six different things that is marbe. So one of the things that you marbe is afila b'shabbes. So the Mishnah Melech had a correspondence with another Sfardish Goyin during his lifetime. Why do you need a pasuk to say that afila b'shabbes? What would you have thought that it's an isra moleach? There's a malach of moleach. So the Gemara says the malach of moleach only applies to or. It doesn't apply to ochlim. So the flesh that you makriv on the mizbeach, what are you going to say? If you put salt on a mincha, it's going to be a malacha maleach. It doesn't make any effect. Salting the malacha malicha, let's say I put in salt, I'm eating a kugel on Shabbos, I'm eating a cholent, I'm eating some chicken, and I see the balabusta forgot to put in salt. So I put in a little salt. I put salt on a challah. He's going to say that that's a shayla malicha. No, of course not. Malicha is a malacha when it affects a change. If the malicha doesn't affect any change, it's just when I eat the food, my taste buds pick up the flavor of the salt, and it's a little more levadic when it has salt in it. But the salt doesn't affect any change in the maicha. Sometimes salt will affect the change. No, if you put salt on a grapefruit, it draws out the sweetness. That's talking more later. The sugya of Hilmi, that you're not allowed to put salt on vegetables, but it's going to affect the change. It's not a malacha deraisa. The Gemara says ein malicha ba'ochlin, and even according to the Amora who thinks that yesh malicha ba'ochlin, the Gemara says that wouldn't be malicha. It's only malicha if you salt it so much the boy leli urcha. You're salting it for the sake of preserving it. Aval abesa lamashvin if mechle yesh, you don't put in so much salt. So what's that Gemara? The Gemara later about salting grapefruits and salting other cucumbers and some other things where it does have an effect on it, change, it makes a change in the oichel. That's only the Rabbanon, and it's mitam mevashel or mesaken mone, because maliach kereseach, it's a different isim in the Rabbanon. It's not this malach of maliach. So that's the kasha that the Mishnah Lamelach pilpils on. Why do you need a drasha from a pasuk to be marbem? Bamel finloch afilu b'shabbes, even according to the Amora who thinks that there is malicha bo'echlin, that's only if he put on a ton of salt. But on the korbanos, they didn't put on so much salt. They put on a little salt. Rambam even writes that, but he ever did yes if he put a speck of salt. So what do you mean the pasuk is needed to tell me that if the meshugan kohen decides to put on a ton of salt on a piece of flesh, he's permitted to and there's no violation? Who's going to put on so much salt? No one ever puts on so much salt on the korbanos. So the pasuk goes in an awkward case, and it wasn't a case. He's going to take a ton of salt and put it on. So why does the pasuk say it's mutter? Why should it be mutter? What's the reason to be mutter it? There's no cause to be mutter. If you say he's doing a malacha anyway, so let him do it. He's not even doing a malacha at all. The Gemara says even according to the opinion that yesh malicha b'echlin, it's only if you use a ton of salt. If you use a little bit, there's no issa. So you could have been makar of the karbonis with doing malicha and not violating any yisur at all. So why should it be a heter to do malicha with a ton of salt and violate an yisur? So that's what the Mishnah Melech discusses. He comes up with the suggestion that since the emurim that you burn on the mizbeach harasa b'achila lehedyot, no human being is allowed to eat them, so maybe that doesn't have this heter of a malicha bo'echlin. A malicha bo'echlin is only if the thing is ra'i l'achila le'bnei yod. So the Menachas Chinuch gives his suggestion that maybe there's an Isur Mashkisom and a Mutar Lisa, maybe you have to salt the flesh any all year long, whenever you're Makhtarei Murim or you're Makhtarei Varim of a carbon oil, which is Kula Kolo. Maybe you always have to salt the flesh in order to remove the dam, and that would be an Isur of Misakin Mana or something. It's a wild suggestion. That's what you need a pasuk for to say. B'melach timloch that it's muta. The pashta says that it's certainly not kirek. So that's a famous kasha that later Svarim talk about. The Mishlam Melach kasha. Why do you need a pasuk that says b'melach timloch? Then there is a klal that the Rishonim debated, and the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that ain't sviya ba'oichlin. Let's say a person is making tea, and often that he's not in violation of Merasha, let's say. So he makes tea, so he took clear water, and he put in a flavoring, but at the same time that he put in the flavoring, he dyed it a different color. So why isn't that a problem of Tzaveya? Why doesn't that pose a problem? So the Mishnah Brewer quotes Rabbi Yankev Hemden, who decided to be Machmer on this. So he says, it's a problem, Yesh Tzaveya Boichlin. I all of Rishonim hold Ein Tzvi Boichlin. So he disagrees with all of Rishonim. He holds. He wasn't even aware that there was some Rishonim who disagreed. He disagreed on his own. Okay. So Mishnah Berurah quotes that there is one Tosfos Reader, someone, one of the Rishonim disagrees and he holds Yesh Tzvi Boichlin. So Rabbi Yankev Hemden holds like that. Mishnah Berurah suggests that whenever possible, you should try to make the tea in such a fashion that you're avoiding violation of Tzviya Min HaTorah, to be choshish for this Kumra of Rabbi Yankev Hemden. How is that? So he says, normally Tzoveya, you have the liquid that you want to dye, and then you pour in the dye. And you're careful not to pour in too little, not to pour in too much. You put in the amount of dye that you need. If you're going to pour in the dye first and then pour in the liquid, so you may guess wrong, you may put in too little or too much dye. So that's considered a shinui. That's considered Tzoveya Agde Shina. So if you put in the tea bag first, and then you pour in the tea, so that would be considered tzaveya bishinui, because the normal way to do tzaveya is to first put in the water and then put in the dye.
What?
Right. It's going to be. It doesn't really need the color. Yeah, it's lamala lamar. Yeah. The worst it's going to be is the rabbana. So the Mishnah Berurah says if you're pouring from the tea kettle, so it's going to be. Iru is mavasho kadei klipo. So you can't put in the tea bag first and then pour the water directly on top, it'll cause dishul. But if you're not pouring from the tea kettle, you're dealing in a case of a klisheni or a klishlishi, whatever the case happens to be, so then you have an option of either putting the tea bag first, putting the tea bag second. So he says, then maybe you should be mahare bedavke to put the tea bag first in order to avoid the outright violation of tzvi boichel. Maybe you should be choshish for Rabbi Yankev Hemden's opinion that yesh tzvi'a b'ochlin. Yeah. Why should it make a difference whether you put the tea bag first, tea bag second? If you're pouring in sense, I can underhear it. I can understand it. If you're pouring in flavoring, so you won't know whether you put in too much or too little. So first you pour in the water, and then you start pouring in the flavoring, and you measure it exactly. But it's putting in a tea bag. There's one tea bag to the cup, that's all. Whether you're going to have slightly more water, slightly less water. You're going to have a tea bag. So why does it make it kalachayat? Why is that a shinoi if you put the tea bag first? It's the same whether you put the tea bag first, tea bag second. I don't understand. That's what the... unless the Mishnah Berurah Taka only says it's a shinoi, that could be. He didn't have any tea bags. 100 years ago, he didn't have tea bags. He had the essence of tea, a liquid. So he recommends you should put the essence in first and then pour the water on top of it as opposed to reverse. But using tea bags, I don't think would make a difference. But either tea bags first, tea bags second, it's not a shinoi. Anyway, what's with our Gemara? Isn't our Gemara the fairish that there is tzviya boichlin? Our Gemara has a machlekes, it looks like a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, where the one who shechts a fresh behemah, adaita, to sell it to others, is chayev only mishum netilas and shama, or in addition to the tilis and shama, is chayv af mishum tzaveya. And Rav has to defend his position. He's afraid that the next generation shouldn't come and laugh me out of existence. What kind of a tzaveya? How is he in violation of tzaveya? Is he interested? Tzaveya b'may nikolay? How is he interested in tzaveya? So he says, yeah, He's interested. Nichalite the lessons. Beis hashchit adam keechet alechziu enshe v'leisa v'liz b'mineg. People should see that as fresh. So he said, you see from the Gemara, that's called shel kayom. That's called tzviya shel kayom. Even though it's only going to last for a short period of time, it sounds from the Gemara that as long as it normally has to last, if it lasts that long, over here, why are they happy when you shech the behem and the dam splatters all over the animal, the neck of the animal? Why is the butcher happy? Because the customers will see that it's fresh. So all he needs is that the dam should remain there till the customer buys it. After the customer has decided to buy it, so the dam can disappear. And then the customer is going to take it home, is going to wash off the dam right away. So within a matter of a few hours, the dam is going to disappear. And still, Rav holds that that's shel kayom. Maybe that's what Shmuel disagrees. Why does Shmuel disagree? Hold on. You want to chay mishum nitilus and shama? Hold on. You're not chay mishum tzaveya. They're talking about the same case and they're disagreeing. Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. And we passing like Rav. Hilchus ki Rabbi, so we passing like Rav. Is it a machlekes or is it just that Shmuel was talking about a normal case? He wasn't talking about the case where you're going to sell it to someone else. So it's unclear. Anyway, here is a question. How can we assume the halacha like Rav? The yichay vach mishum tzaveya. What happened to the rule of Ein Tzviya Boichlin? This is flesh over here. He's selling the meat to the customers. They're going to buy it and eat it. And they're happy to see that it's fresh meat. So isn't this in violation of the principle of Ein Tzviya Bi'ochlin?
Here is an external reason.
So the answer is, the only time you say Ein Tzviya Bi'ochlin is what? Let's say he puts a tea bag, some kind of tea bag in a cup of water. So he wants to give the flavor, he's not interested in giving a color. Or even if you want to put in food coloring, but you know that if you put in bright red colors, a bright green, a bright yellow, so people will enjoy it better. People have anoy. The Gemara says in the end of Yuma that the blind person doesn't enjoy his food as much as the person who has sight, because seeing the food causes you to water. Your mouth starts to salivate, and you enjoy the food better. So if the food looks pretty, then you'll enjoy it better, even if it tastes the same as the other food. But one looks prettier than the other, so then you'll enjoy it. Loimed boy, if you're doing tzviya shalol l'shem tzviya, you're putting in a tea bag. You're not really interested in the color. If they would have clear tea bags that would just have the flavor, you would also be satisfied. They don't have such tea bags, right? So we have to. We have to suffer along. So let's say they have a chreis. They have now two kinds of Coca-Cola. One looks traditional color, and one is clear. Probably tastes the same. I don't know. So let's say a guy's going to pour Coca-Cola in water, and he wants Dafke, the colored Coca-Cola, because it looks better. He enjoys it better. That color reminds him of the flavor of Coca-Cola, and he enjoys it better. The clear Coca-Cola looks like water, even though it tastes well, even though it tastes exactly the same as the other one, let's say, for argument's sake. But it doesn't look like Coca-Cola, so he feels that there's something missing. So also, even though it's in his head, but the coloring that you're putting in makes the food more geschmack when you're going to eat it. Here, the dam that you put on top is going to have to be totally removed. It doesn't enhance the flavor, it doesn't enhance the taste, and it doesn't enhance, even in my mind, the taste of the food. It's just, it's a similar dover that it's a freshly slaughtered behemoth. It was just geschochen today. I see the blood is still fresh. It's a different thing. That's like a tzviya on a piece of paper and advertising that this is fresh food. It's not going to enhance the flavor of the food at all, this tzviya. So this would be l'chol ha'deis yesh tzviya b'oichel. The chefza that you're doing the tzviya on happens to be oichel. But just because the chefza is oichel, that's not called ein tzviya b'oichel. Ein tzviya b'oichel is, if it's derech tikkun ha'maichel, then you say ein tzviya b'oichel. I think the Chayyadim says like that, and in Europe and America also. The drugstores advertise that they're a drugstore. So someone writes a pharmacy, whatever. And some of them used to have a container of water, dyed blue, standing in the window of the store. So that was a symbol of a drugstore. So the Chayyadim says that if you dye the water blue and you put it in the front of the drugstore, that's a violation of Tzaveya. So some asked the kasha, but ain't tzviya b'ochlin. So the answer, no one's going to drink that water. Ain't tzviya b'ochlin is only if the tzviya is done for the sake of enhancing the flavor, like a tea bag, or even if it's done for the sake of enhancing the color, which is going to give you psychologically more pleasure when you're going to eat it. You like to eat cookies that are red and green and yellow, colored cookies. tastes better. You think that it tastes better. But over here, by the water in the storefront, it doesn't enhance the flavor at all. It's not at all for the purpose of adding, enhancing the flavor. What is also bachila? Could be. Like the Mishnah Melach said, "Benegeta the karbana is also bachila." So here also, if you didn't salt it yet, that's a question. Is that so? The meat before you salt it is also bachila. Kolzmana has all the blood splattered on it. For sure, it's also bachila. After you wash off the blood, then we in Shulchan Aruch we pass on like cases that dami varm shelo pirish is mutter. You can eat a piece of meat. You can even eat a piece of raw liver, even though the liver, the kovet is kula dam. If you wash off the blood on the surface, you're permitted to eat a raw piece of liver. The only time the dam is also is after it's pirish. Yeah, but here we're talking that I shechted an animal and the blood splattered all over the surface of the piece of meat. So the surface of the piece of meat, that blood on the surface is dami varm, dam shepirish. There's dam shepir. It's not even dam eivar. It's probably that's dam shanashama yotzebo. That for sure is a dam shepir. But you're not allowed to eat. Maybe that's the answer. Because it's also bachila now, so you can't apply the klal of ain't sviya bodo. Okay, it's also correct. Then we started the Gemara of Shnaim Shasuhu. So the Gemara had a machlokes hatanaim. What do you do with all of these three miyutim? Nefesh achas techta b'shkoga. So the Gemara says there are three miyutim over here. Nefesh techta, achas techta, basoisa techta. So they come to be my different things. So there is a machlekes hatanoim. What about a yochid shosa b'hiraz bezin or the chayva potter? So just Rashi just explains what it's all about. There is a din of parhel of davishal tzibur that if the bezin agadol issued a psak in error regarding one of the Yisuri Kores, Shabbat Torah, and they were matter something. And the Rav HaTzibur followed the kula of the Bez Nagodl, followed the Psak, and they violated this Issa, thinking that it was mutter. And then after a while, the Bez Nagodl retracts their kula, and they realize they made a mistake. So the Torah requires, if 51%, if at least 51% of the Klal Yisrael that live in Eretz Yisrael violated that Issa Kores, then the Bez Nagodl has to bring a parhal and davar shel tzibur. But if it's less than 50%, only the miyut of Bnei Yisrael violated this, then the Bez HaGadol does not have to bring a parhal and davar shel tzibur. Says here, there's a machlokes satanoim, and this daf Tzadik Gimel as well as in Horeis. In the instance that you have less than the rov of Klal Yisrael who sheberet Yisrael, who violated this iser based on rov of Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to the Bez HaGadol, only the miyut of Bnei Yisrael violated the iser. And the Bez HaGadol does not bring a parhal and davar shel tzibur. So do we now say that each and every individual person who ate his chalev, or who ate his chametz on Pesach, who turned on the lights on Shabbos, who ate the food on Yom Kippur, Bez HaGadol said, this kind of food you're allowed to eat. Some kind of cookies you're allowed to eat. That doesn't count. Cookies don't count. Whatever. Water doesn't count. Whatever. They came up with some of the wine falls. Something is mutter to eat or to drink on Yom Kippur. And less than 50% of Klal Yisrael violated it. And then the Bez HaGadol realized that they made a mistake. So the Bez HaGadol will not bring a parhal and davar shel tzibur. The question is, do the Yechidim now have to bring a korban chatos for themselves? So that's called Yochid Shasa by Roz Bezin. Yochid means an individual who's less than 50%. More than 50% is not called a Yochid. Less than 50%, each and every individual person is called a Yochid. So that's a machleg zatanan. We pass them that Yechayv to bring achatas. Yochad shavirosa by Roz Bezin is chay. And then there's an opinion in Tanoim that you potter, and then there's a further machleg is the Tanoim will hold that you potter from achatas. Do you need a pasuk to teach you that a Yochad shavirosa is potter? Or do you say mitzar asvor apshut? Of course you potter. It's not mamish honest. It's not his fault. He's a layman. He listens to the Rabbanim. He does what he's supposed to do. The Rabbanim says mutter is mutter. So what do you want from him? You tell me he has to bring a korban chatos. He thought they're making a mistake, but he thought you're still allowed to do it. Yeah, the Gemara calls that shogeg. Yeah, the Gemara there in Hurriya says if that's called shogeg, then he would be chayav chatos. But that's not what we're talking about. That's it is chayav chatos. Yod echemem shato, and he violated it anyway, thinking mitzvah lishma divach hachamim. Even if they're wrong, I mean, she's small. Even if they're wrong, So the Mishnah says there that Yochai is Katsus in such a case. But here that's not what we're talking about. Talking Yochashosa, but Roz Bezin, he didn't know one way or the other. He's not so learned to be entitled to an opinion. And he thought the Rabbanim says Mutter is Mutter. He went ahead and he did it. So we pass in Chayv Chatas. And within the Tanaim, we think that Potter from Chatas, so they have a detail, Machlaikis, is that based on a logic dictates like that? How can you tell a guy Chayv Chatas? He did what the Torah told him to do. He didn't do anything wrong. The Torah says he's supposed to ask the Shaila of the Rabbanim. He went to the chief rabbi. Went to the Bez Nagoro. How can be Chayv Chatas? Honest. Or should you say, no, you need a Zeres HaKosu, it's not honest. There are a lot of steerers on that topic. Let's say, there's a din of lina basaruba. So a person eats food based on a roiv that it's kosher. Then it turns out later on he realized that he fell in, that this piece of food was treif. So is he mechuyev to get a kapara? Let's say, if it was chela, will it be chayv chatas or not? So there are contradictions between the different gemaras. The Chasam Sefer usually says this. Chasam Sefer is very strong on listening to the Rabbanim. So he writes in a few places in his Tshuvas and his Chidushim on Igmar. If you did what the Torah says you're supposed to do, you follow Rav, you follow Chazak, you follow Sveksek, and then it turns out later on that you fell in, you're not Chayv Chatas, because you didn't do anything wrong. You did what you're supposed to do. But the problem is there are Gemaras Fakir. There are Gemaras that contradict. There's a Tosis in the first daf in Perek Achilus Leivim Tosis. The Tosis shows from the Gemara there that if you did what the Chachamim told you, if you did what the Halacha says, even though you realize later on that you fell in, you're not Chayv Chatas. That's what Tosis says, like the Chasam Sofer. But there are contradictions from other Gemaras. So that's a topic that's discussed in later Svarim, and later Achrayim. Anyway, that's the topic of Yochid Shosa Baheroz Bez, or the Chayv HaPata. Now we spoke a little bit, the Gemara speaks about Shnaim Shasuhu, so there are two different kinds of Shnaim Shasu. Let's say two people are carrying Zeyochel to Zeyochel. It's a light safer. I'm holding out of one end, you're holding on the other end. If you let go, I'm carrying. If I let go, you're carrying anyway. So that's one kind of Shnaim Shasu. Then there's another kind of Shnaim Shasu. Ze Oiker v'ze Miniach. I did the first half of the Malacha, you did the second half of the Malacha. So the Gemara says, you need a Pasuk to tell you that even Ze Oiker v'ze Miniach, that's 10 lines from the top. Chad Lemute is Zayke v'zei Miniach, v'chad Lemute is Zayoche v'zei Yoche, what they're both doing b'vasachas. That's on Sadi Gimel Amin Aleph, 10 lines from the top. That's what Tosfos says. Why do you need a Pasuk to teach you that Zayke v'zei Miniach is Potter? Of course it's Potter. He didn't do the whole Malachim. What's the half minute to think that he's Chayim? Zek Kosovai Sachas, Boch Haber Kosovai Shnir Lo Itzterkru, how come over here by Zayke v'zei Miniach? Why do you need a Pasuk? That's what Tosfos catches us for Lachalek. Someone, when we were learning, someone suggested, I think, that one would have thought that it's like Korach Hachem Yorubay. Many Rishonim hold that if you do a malacha b'tzir of Korach Hachem Yorubay, that you're chayiv. So if I do the akira and I give you the chesed and you do the hanochas, I'm giving it to you, I'll daite that you're going to do the hanochas. So you for sure are potter. You didn't do the first pula. But maybe I began from the beginning and then I had the Korach Hachem take over where I left off, which was the Korach Hacher, the other Jewish person. So it's like Zorka LaRuach, and the Ruach finishes the Malacha. So one might have argued the point that the Zeoike should be Chayv, the Zeminiach not. He didn't do the Akira, but the Zeoike, maybe I should relate the Hanochet to him also, because of the principle of Korach Hacher Mirboi. So that's the Pasuk tells you that that's not correct. That can't be called Korach Hacher Mirboi. If the Korach Hacher is a Bardas who has to make a conscious decision, using his Bechira Chavshis, so that's the Tosis in Bava Kama, that's not called Eish. When the Korach Acher is a Bardas who does the Kavana, it's not called Korach Acher Miyorabai. It's only if it's Odom Shaloi B'Kavana. Odom, that's the Tosis on Davov and Bava Kama, Davov and Al. Odom Shaloi B'Kavana, that's called, let's say, have Avna Sekinim Asosha Nichon B'Shus HaRabim, then his Galgalu, Viragli Odom of Viragli Behema. And then it made a Hezek. So the Ragli Adam Ragli Behema is like a Korach Hacher Mirboi, and it knocks the board to another location and somebody got hurt over there. So the Gemara says the Ragli Adam and the Ragli Behema is a Korach Hacher Mirboi. So Tosfos says it's only if the Ragli Adam is Adam B'Shoigeg Shaloi B'Kavona. Let's say that people see this, someone left a ball in the street, a hard ball. Another guy comes and he kicks the ball, flies in and smashes a window. So the guy who left the ball is dying, because the one who kicked it is a Korach Hacher Mirboi. No, he did a conscious, he made a conscious decision to kick the ball. So that's not mitzvah. He used his clear chapshes. That can't be mitzvah back to me to call him. It could. I did the whole malacha and he's the kar chacham yorba. No, he's an independent person over here. It's only if the Adam didn't believe Shia. If the people are walking in the street and they're carrying packages and nobody sees what's doing on the ground and it's a little ball. If it's a big thing and everybody would see it, the Adam b'kavana or Adam b'pshia, so that's not called the kar chacham yorba. So maybe that's what it means over here. I would have thought that the oiker should be chayev because the miniach is a kar chacham yorba from him. So Kamash will learn the pasuk that it's not so. Whenever it's Adam b'kavana, that's not mitzvah back to the other person.
I would have more of a havamina by hotzah that kar chacham yorba.
I don't know. Teisus gives a hez, but why I would have thought hotzah is mochav and ksiva. I would have not said like this.
No, I'm saying even alts koach hachmurabo. If I never had havamina, you'd be chayav by shnayim shasua alts koach hachmurabo. So why would I ever have havamina that you need a special pasuk by Akira and Anocha?
Maybe shnayim shasua is a ptur, but this is not called shnayim shasua. Here, one person did everything. The oiker did everything. But see if the koach hachmurabo of the miniach. But if you have two people doing from the beginning to the end, that's a different pasuk. The shnayim shasua is pata. Zoykev is a minich is a different to it. That Adam the Kavana is not called the Korach Hacham Yerba. I didn't need his Korach. It's not Korach Hacham Yerba. I did it all by myself. Zayachov is a Yachov. I did it all by myself. I didn't need him. So that's not called Korach Hacham Yerba. Korach Hacham Yerba means the results wouldn't have been accomplished without this Korach Hacham. Here the results would have been accomplished even without him. He's the Yachov and I'm a Yachov. So that's a different to it. Zayachov is a Yachov. It's a different to it. And Zakev is a Minyach, it's a different word. Odin Bikavana is not labeled as a Korach Hacham Yorba. The Gemara in on Daf Gimel, the Gemara quotes these dinim of Zakev is a Minyach. Stein Shal Suhu. So the Meiri there talks about if a person carries base amis and the other person picks up and he carries the base amis, that's the same as Zoykev is a minech that you're not chai. That's where the Meiri asks the question, why shouldn't carrying base amis be awesome in Atara based on the principle of Chatzishir, awesome in Atara? So we had the Chacham Tzvi thinks the Chatzishir, awesome in Atara only applies the Midi Dachila, because the Mokka from which it's derived is Kol Chelav, Lo Sachelu, the word is Kol, is Marbe, Kol Dehu. Even a mashu, even a little bit, so that only appears in the Chumash in the context of eating chaylev, of macholos atzur. But the Mishlam Melech points out that the simple reading of the Rashi in Ayin Dalet and Aleph is not so. Rashi sounds like he's saying explicitly that the Chatzi Shiras Menatera even applies to Hilchas Shabbos, so that's what the Miri is. It is not restricted only to macholos atzur, and implies in Kol HaTorah Kula. So why shouldn't you say that one who carries Beis Amos should be Mitzvah Deraisa? Of Chatzi Shir, the din is not true. It's even mutam in the Rabban. What's also in Rabban is to carry pachas midalat amis. Means to carry base amis and make anocha, and then to carry another base amis and make anocha. So at the end of the day, I carry dalat amis, but I did it with a trick. I made anocha in the middle, so that's why it's not considered a malocha. But if you only carry base amis alone, that's hefta gomer. That's even mutam in the Rabban. So the Miri asks the Kasha, why should it be hefta gomer? Why shouldn't it be a violation of Chatzi Shir asman atar? So the Miri answers that there are two kinds of Chatzi Shir. The Mishnah has, if you're carrying metal, you have to carry so much volume of metal. If you carry paper, you have to carry so much. If you're carrying water, so much. If you're carrying wine, so much. Orange juice is so much. So what if I carry orange juice or paper or metal or leather, less than that volume that the Mishnah requires? So that would be Chatzi Shir Asman Atar. But if the fellow carries Beis Amos and he puts it down, that's not called a Chatzi Shir. That's called a Chatzi Malach. That's a different part. Like if you have ze oikev ze miniach, so the ze oikev is a chatzi malacha. That's not called chatzi shir asman atar. Moitzi mishus hayochid mishus harab, ma machnes from mishus harab into mishus hayochid. You need akira here and the hanocha over there. So why not say whenever you have ze oikev ze miniach, the Miri has let it be chatzi shir asman atar. So the answer is that's not a chatzi shir. That's a chatzi malacha. Only say chatzi shir asman atar when you have. The Ragat Shava coined two terms. He says, when you have a shir mitzvah, but when you have a shir nekuda, you can't apply chatzi shir asman atar. If you need the shir in order to label it as a certain type of a pu'ula, And if you're missing the shiur, then it's labeled totally differently. So that's not a chatzi shiur, that's a chatzi malacha. Chatzi malacha is not awesome enough to. That's what we mentioned, that there is a machlekes in the last perek in Yuma, whether the chamishi inuyim that are forbidden on Yom Kippur are all osim in Atura, they're only osim in Rabban. And achilosh, the Gemara says, there's an issue of kores. And if a person eats b'sheikig on Yom Kippur, he has to bring a carbon chatas. Obviously, that's in Atura. There's no chatas on the Rabban. And nefesh is lo seluna v'nichrusos, psukim like that. So that's their right. But the question is, what about the other inuyim? And so on, are they there? I said the Rabban. The Gemara says there's no chorus. The Gemara says in the end of the Dorim that there's chorus only on Achilah Shtia, on Yom Kippur, and on the Shari Nim is no chorus. So this led the Rabbi Natam and many of the Balei Tosfos to believe that all the Chamisha Nim is only with the Rabban. Only Achilah Shtia is their eyes. And the Rambam is pretty explicit that they're all their eyes. That everything is their eyes. So the Rishonim all ask a kasha in the first Mishnah in the last Perek in Yuma. It says that a Yoledes is permitted to wash her face, and a Kala is permitted to wash her face on Yom Kippur. She just got married within the last month before Yom Kippur. And a Melech is allowed to wash his face on Yom Kippur. Melech, the Ofio Techazena in Echa. When you see the king, you should only see him when he's, after he brushed his teeth, and after he's all dressed, and he looks fancy. Out of Kabbat Amalchus and so on. So the Rishonim ask Kakasha Bishleim if you hold that Rechitzis Haguf is only with Rabbanon. So Shaykh to make Kulis even though there's no Sakona. Hey Mama Vehe Mama, the Holy Isa is only the Rabbanon, so they have a right to be Mekal on the Isa the Rabbanon. But if you should assume that all the Chamisha Inuim are their Isa, then how could you be Mekal because we want the Melech to command the respect of the people, and along the command the respect if he washed his face? And you allow the Kala, who just got married, she should be allowed to wash her face because we don't want the husband to fall out of love. He fell in love with her and he wanted to maintain the love. And the Oledis is allowed to wash her face. She just had a baby. So she had a baby. So what? The world's not going to come to an end. She had a baby. She doesn't have to wash her face. So why do you give such a terem in washing the face? So doesn't it imply that the whole Isur of Bechitz is only with Rabbanu? So the Tosfos Yishonim on the first daf in the last Perek in Yuma comes to defend the Rambam. He says, no, afilam tim tzilam, even he said like those Rishonim, that Rechitzo is an Issa Daraisa, the Chamisha Inuim are all Daraisa, that's only Rechitzo's Kol HaGuf. Rechitzo's Miktsas Min HaGuf, that's only going to be Midi Rabbana. So washing the face is only Miktsas Min HaGuf, so that's only Midi Rabbana. So Mele, there's still room to be Mekel. Hey, Mom, hey, Mom, they have a right to be Mekel. So the Mefarsha Mesk on the Emek Bracha, he quotes this Kasha, Mefarsha Mesk on the Tosfos Yishonim, if washing kol aguf is an isa deraisa, so washing mikzus min aguf should be a chatzi shir, should be also min atur. So the answer, that's not called a chatzi shir. That's called like carrying, like ze'oike v'zei miniach. That's not a chatzi shir. That's a chatzi pula. You didn't do the whole surah samalochet. Let's say, if a person eats tray for food, a kazayis, then he gets malchus. If you eat a half a kazayis, then you don't get malchus. That's chatzi shir, also min atur. What if he doesn't eat it? What if he just puts the food in his mouth, he chews, and he spits it out, and he doesn't even swallow the flavor? So you're going to say, well, it's a chatzi shir, or osman atara. He chewed the food. Chewing is the beginning of eating. No, it's not even true. If you swallow food, it's also an aver. You don't have to chew the food before you swallow it. So chewing is not even a mikzah. But even if there's that, that's a machlekes achrein. Machlekes, the b'chor shor, and psochim holds like that. That if you eat food, the Gemara says that if you swallow bola matzah, yotza, bola moror, lo yotza. So the Bechor Shor is a sefer by the Tvur Shor, and Psochim wants to understand he was a contemporary of the Shach, used to correspond to each other. So he raises the question, why do you distinguish between the matzah and the moror? So the Pashup Shat is because dinan tamor, v'leka. If bola moror, without chewing it, the whole purpose of eating maror is to make a zecher to the maror in the days of Mitzrayim by zecher leman maror is chayim. If it's going to be bola maror, so you don't have a tam maror, so it's a local din in Hilchos maror. So the Bechor Shor writes Faker. He says, no, mikir adin, when you swallow something without chewing it, that's shaloike derech achila. So that's by bola maror lo yotzo, and that's a din in kolotar kula. Whenever you swallow any food without chewing it, that's going to be shaloike derech achila. So if you swallow treifus, let's say there's treifus in a pill, and you swallow the pill without chewing it. Most people swallow pills without chewing it. So that's shaloka derech achilasa. So how do you understand why matzah? why is Bala Matzah Yotze? He says, no, Matzah is the exception to the rule because it's called Lechem Oni. So not only is it Lechem Oni that you shouldn't put in made Paris and so on, it's Lechem Oni, a crazy way of Achille, also counts. Even Bala Matzah without chewing it, that's included in Lechem Oni. Most of the posts can reject that for sure. The whole fakir, it's just the opposite. They don't call it Terukula Bala, Belia, Belila, Isa is called Achille. And the one and only exception to the rule is Marav, because being on top Marav is Sivalekha. That's the exception to the rule. So let's say if you hold like the Bchor Shor, that chewing is the beginning of the Achille process, that if you're going to swallow without chewing, that's Kosher Lo Kederach Achilasa. So let's say a guy will chew some tray for food, then he spits it out and he doesn't swallow it all. So you're going to say that that's a Chatzi Shir Osman Atar? That's not a Chatzi Shir. It's a Chatzi Avera. He didn't do Chatzi Shir would be if he chews less than a Kazayis and he swallows it. That's a Chatzi Shir. But if he doesn't even swallow it, that's a Chatzi Avera. It's not a Chatzi Shir. He didn't finish the whole Maisa Avera. That's partial like that. There are two kinds of Shir. Sometimes the Shir is needed in order to have the proper quantity. The Aver was done in a proper fashion, but you have to do it to a greater extent. It has to have more hashivas, but has to have a significance and a hashivas by doing it with a certain volume. And then there's another kind of a shear, that's a shear nekuda, that if that shear is missing, that's like it's a different pula. The whole asiya is different. So that's the pashtus, that if a person carries base on this, that's not a chatzi shear. That's a chatzi malocha that doesn't count at all. Like Rechitza, Zeva Rechot is not called a Chatzi Shir, Rechitza's Kolagul. Rechitza's Kolagul is taking a bath or a shower. Rechitza Everach is washing that organ. You don't say that he took a half a bath. It's not called a half a bath. They made an Issa Rabbanan, yeah. Like chewing on food. So the Gemara says to taste food, even to spit it out, is awesome of the Rabbanan. On a Tainus Yachid, the Gemara says Mutta. A person is Mekabel a Tainus on himself, and then he's cooking some soup, and he doesn't remember if he put in flavoring, didn't put in flavoring. So the Gemara says in Brochus, he's allowed to taste it and spit it out. Matemis is Mutta on a Tainus Yachid, because why? Because Achila Shtiyah Kabel Alei, Tima Alei Kabel Alei. He only accepted Achila Shtiyah, he didn't accept Tima. And it all depends on what his Neder Tainus. So Tosfos comments on that Gemara and is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that only goes on a Tainus Yochid that the person was Mekabel on himself. So we're trying to psychoanalyze him and trying to figure out what is included in his Neder, but in Dorm Harloch Achaloshim and Yodam, whatever he intended to be included, that's included. Whatever he didn't want to be included, is not included. So we analyze his Kabbalah on Neder and we say he only accepted on himself Achidoshti. He never accepted an Isur of Te'ima. But on Tainus Aksuvim, what about a Tainus Vashtet in Tanakh, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur and Asar B'Tavis and some Gedalia? Doesn't depend on what you are Mekabel. You don't need your Kabbalah on Neder Tainus. It's a Tainus Aksuvim, it's in Tanakh. So from the Tosfos says in the Gemara, it would appear that on a Tainus Aksuvim, Te'ima is awesome. So that Gemara is the mocker for this whole prohibition, that there is an Issa D'Rabbanan, not an Issa D'Rabbanan, an Issa D'Rabbanan, let's say to taste non-kosher food, even though you're going to spit it out, it's forbidden to taste it. If to taste food on Yom Kippur, and then you got to spit it out. That's what you're not allowed to do. And then there's a big discussion in Achrayim, because sometimes it says in Shulchan Aruch that you are allowed to taste non-kosher food. So how do you deal with that? It says in Shulchan Aruch that if you have an animal that's you shech the cow and it's missing a gall, it never had a gall. So then it's also, what if it once had a gall and the gall disintegrated, then it's mutter. So how do you know you shech the cow? You don't find any gall. You don't know whether it never had a gall or it had a gall and it disintegrated. So the Mechaber quotes from the Rishonim, lick the piece of flesh and you'll see. If it had a gall, so that part is going to be very, very bitter. Gall is always very bitter. So then you'll know that there was a gall and it disintegrated. But if you lick the piece of flesh and it doesn't taste bitter, so then you know b'yodua that it never had a gall and therefore it's going to be a trefa. So all the Taz and the Shach and all the Mefarshim and Kakasha, how you allowed to lick? It may turn out that it's going to be a trefa. It may turn out that this animal is a trefa. So by licking, you're in violation of an Issa D'Rabbanan. So let it be also. So the Shach says, it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, and you're not sure, and it's highly unlikely. How many animals are there in the world? What percentage of animals are there that don't have any gall? Probably did have a gall and gall disintegrated. So since the whole thing is only D'Rabbanan, and the rov is L'Hateiris, so you're not mechuyev to worry about it over here. But if you would know in advance that it's taka trefa, I know that that is a treifa, and I'm going to lick it like this. So that's an issa derabban. You're not allowed to lick it. And the Taz disagrees. The Taz says no. The only time you're not allowed to taste something, matemes, the Gemara in Bracha says matemes is also by Tanias Aksuvim and by Macholos Asuras. You're not allowed to. That's if you taste the food and it's in your mouth. So then there's a hashash that you may swallow it. But if you're licking something that's out of your mouth, so how can you swallow it? You're gonna swallow the thing that you licked. He's not interested in swallowing that. The hashash is not that it's gonna do b'mezid. The hashash is if he has something in his mouth and he's toying it, he's tasting it. So he may accidentally swallow. But if he's licking something out of his mouth and he's not interested in swallowing it, so there's no hashash. So this is the machlekes, the Taz and the Shach. To what extent did they introduce this issa derabban? If it's kosher, if it's going to turn out that it's kosher, if it's bitter, then it means that it's kosher. But let's say if it'll turn out that it's a trefa, then it won't be bitter.
Yeah, right. It
means raw flesh. Raw flesh has no taste at all. Okay. Okay. The stomach has a little tear there, whatever. I mean, it's not gishmak. It doesn't taste good. It has some taste. So that's a topic the Rabbanan. Machlok is the Shach and the Taz and Yeridei. The Shach and the Taz are not on the same page. They're in two different places. The Shach is in Hilchas Treifas by the Gaul, and the Taz is in Hilchas Taruz. They're two different places. But if you put them together, so they're nice and kalim. On the side, point out. Machlok is about the details of this Nisha the Rabbanan, about tasting Macholos Asur. Okay, good enough. Enough Chazor. So what do we say? We should do a little Mishnah Brura. A little bit. Okay. Yes. The non, sometimes the non-kosher ingredient in the gum is the gum base that you never swallow anyway. The main thing is the flavoring in the gum. If the flavoring is non-kosher, then it's a real issa to swallow because the flavoring is roi l'achila. Everybody chews gum has a mind to swallow the flavoring. That's mamish miskavet. So you have to make sure that the flavoring on the gum, which is roi l'achila, should be kosher. The shot is, what about this? They sometimes put an ingredient in the gum, the part of the gum that no one ever swallows. So the pashtun says everybody would agree. The shach and the taz, everybody should agree that that's mutta. You're not even tasting it. It's like putting a piece of wood in your mouth. Just to lick a piece of wood. The thing is not, gum is not roi l'achila, and there's no havamina that he's going to want to swallow it. No chashash and he's going to swallow it. Little children sometimes swallow gum. But adults don't swallow gum. They should both agree that. Both the Shach and the Taz will both agree that. That would be mutar.